superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Take your heart pills and buckle up.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Major trade that just happened in this draft. Major.
Is A.J. Brown on the trade block?
As long as I'm the coach here, I would want to have A.J. Brown on my football team.
The Rich Eisen Show.
He's still coaching the Tennessee Titans, and A.J. Brown is on the Philadelphia Eagles. Take your heart pills and buckle up.
Earlier on the show, Jets general manager Joe Douglas. Still to come. Cardinals general manager Steve Keim. Eagles general manager Howie Roseman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Fresh back from Las Vegas, Nevada after 260-some-odd selections. It was just a great time. And later on in the show, we'll talk a little bit more about the experience being in Las Vegas and how I hope it's the first of many times that we are there for major NFL events. We had Joe Douglas, the general manager of the New York Jets, on in hour number one. Howie Roseman, the general manager of the Philadelphia Eagles, will be on in hour number three, along with my colleague Ian Rappaport from the NFL Media Group, not together. As a matter of fact, I don't know if they have ever been seen in the same room together, Ian and Howie Roseman. So that's an hour number three of this program. You've got Overreaction Monday, Chris Brockman, all teed up, right?
Coming up.
Very
minutes.
NFL draft heavy version
heavy,
of that.
Okay,
very
draft.
Good. Very good. TJ Jefferson has lit the candle over an hour ago.
Hey.
So we turn to the phone lines, the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line right now. For our general manager friend from Arizona, Steve Keim of the Arizona Cardinals, here on the Rich Eisen Show. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great, Rich. How was Vegas, you babe?
Steve.
I'm back in one piece. I got that email from RG1 saying stay away from the tables. So that worked out. Everybody, you know, I follow along. There may be an eye in Rich and Eisen, but I'm a team player. You know what I mean, Steve? That's why I'm atop your draft board again, right? I was atop your draft board again this year, correct?
I mean, I think for a number of reasons. I mean, number one, obviously myself and Michael Bidwell are huge fans of yours.
Thank you, Steve.
All you've done with Run, Rich, Run and the St. Jude's stuff, I mean, it's fantastic.
I appreciate that. And the photograph that I received, I don't know who in that place decided to Photoshop me running through Cliff Kingsbury's Bond lair. But that was genius. That was fantastic that you had that up on your draft board.
No question. It really did. It made a lot of fun. And I think they should have done it without sneaker shoes on, though. Like kind of like you're running through the fire pits.
Or I should run like Kingsbury with no socks and like loafers. But I don't have his build, man. I don't have his build.
Me either, brother.
You know? So let's get to your draft. When did Hollywood Brown first appear on your radar screen, Steve?
Eric DeCosta and I have had some conversations, but I would say it really materialized the night before the draft. And just to me, Rich, it made sense for a number of reasons. Obviously, it gives us a young, dynamic receiver, 24 years old, can stretch the field vertically. He can play inside. He can play outside. And then obviously, his relationship and the chemistry he has with Kyler Murray is exceptional. These guys worked together in the offseason in Dallas. So made a lot of good reasons for us. And again, having him under a rookie contract and two more years of controlled salary is a good deal for us.
Yeah, because you picked up his fifth-year option, correct? You did that
correct.
Okay. And so, you know, share whatever you're willing to share or able to share. But it's just because it was a surprise to us. And then reporting comes out that he had demanded a trade from Baltimore. How does something like that filter to you through either rumor or fact that you hear that and then that causes you to call Eric DeCosta?
Yes, and Eric and I have had a good relationship for a number of years, so he was able to talk through it over the last couple months, and finally got to a point where it made sense for both of us. And I think in a, you know, different situations, Rich, trades get done, and you know, different times you think that somebody got the best end of it. But I think it was the best of both worlds for both teams, because I think that we got a young dynamic receiver. You know, he wasn't happy in that offense, and now we get put him in a position where he's going to flourish, I think, schematically in what we do and all the different things that Coach Kingsbury has in store for him. So he had a great year last year, over 90 catches, 1,000 yards, and again, expect him to continue to trend in that direction.
And then obviously your job is to conduct a draft, and your job is to build your roster to championship caliber. But it did appear that there was some sort of coordination with another part of your organization to get him there for a draft and a party and reveal him. Did that happen?
Yeah, I don't know if you knew this, but Mr. Bidwell does have a plane. And even more interesting, he flies the plane.
Yeah, it's true, right? So did he personally fly him? Did he personally do that?
He did. He went and picked him up in Vegas.
Come on.
Wow.
So how does that work? You tell him, hey, we got Hollywood, and then he's just like, I got it. I got the rest from here. Yeah. Is that literally what happened?
Yeah. I said, can you give him a ride? And he was like, absolutely.
Take that, Jerry Jones.
You ain't doing that.
See, you fly your plane. Wow. Okay. That's
a big hit, man. He went and picked up J.J. Watt. He's picked up DeAndre Hopkins. It's been a lot of fun.
That's wild. And then how much of acquiring Hollywood Brown got pushed up your flow chart a little bit by making Kyler Murray a happy camper, getting
a number of things. We wanted to add a receiver, Rich, and I sort of anticipated the way the first round would go, and at the point where we were picking at 23, I didn't think there would be a receiver that we would be that excited about. So I couldn't talk to Kyler about this because it was between Eric and I, and it sort of kept it quiet. But immediately after the trade was announced, I had about 8 or 9 fireballs texted to me from Kyler Murray.
So that's how you found out that Kyler found out about it, is that he texted you?
Yeah, there were about 8 fireballs.
Steve Keim here on the Rich Eisen Show. So you acquire Hollywood Brown, and you look down at your phone and you see 8 fireball emojis from Kyler Murray. So how is your relationship with Kyler and the organization's relationship with him?
It's been good. It's been good. He's fun to talk to about the players throughout the draft process, free agency. I mean, he's a football junkie, so he's a guy that watches a lot of film and gets into it and always likes to voice his opinions, which I love to hear. I like to personally talk to our players about prospects because it brings to me, they look through it through a different sort of lens, you know what I mean? It's like they have a different perspective than the talent evaluators and the coaching staff.
Well, I mean, you know the narrative, Steve. So what is going on with him and you contractually? I have this piece of stationery right here on my desk I've been holding because I've never seen anything like it, what came from his agent the days before the combine. Are you guys where does that stand right now, you and Kyler, contractually?
Well, I would say this. Every deal that you've seen done for quarterbacks after their third year have all been done anywhere from mid-July to about September. So I wanted to get through the draft process, free agency, all the work that we put into it, and then now we can take a step back, refocus, and see if we can get something done. But everything's been good. The lines of communication have been open with him, Eric Burkhardt, his agent, and hopefully we'll be able to get something nailed down before the season starts.
So he has not demanded a trade from the Arizona Cardinals?
No. Nor would I trade him.
Nor would you trade him.
Correct.
Go ahead and expound on that. Why not? I mean,
because I was a decent GM when Carson Palmer was our quarterback, and when he retired, I wasn't a very good GM. And then now that we have Kyler Murray, I've become a little better GM again. And I'm smart enough to figure out that when you got one, keep him.
Steve Keim here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, so let's get through the draft then. What'd you see in Trey McBride that you liked so much, Steve?
Just an extremely productive player. I mean, another player who's had, I believe, 90-some catches last year, over 1,000 yards as a receiver. I think it was like the 5th best production in college football from a tight end standpoint. Really great character, three-time captain. I mean, character's off the charts. Great leader, really, really tough, can play inline, can play flexed, and again, is very, very productive.
Okay, and then working your way through the rest of the draft, you go defensive line. Is that born out of the fact that Chandler Jones is now in Vegas, Steve?
Yeah, so we took three other potential pass rushers for us. So Cam Thomas and Myjai Sanders and then Jesse Luketa from Penn State in the seventh round. All those guys could potentially be 3-4 outside linebackers and all bring different traits. You know, the Cam Thomas is a big guy that can hold the point of attack and had 11.5 sacks at San Diego State. Myjai Sanders is leaner, athletic, really gangly, but has played really well against people like Alabama, Notre Dame. I thought, the arrow's trending in the right direction for him. And then Jesse Luketa's a guy that didn't test well in terms of 40-yard dash and all the measurements, but he's just a really good football player on tape. So we think that three of those guys can potentially contribute next year.
Well, you're the perfect guy to ask this question, Steve Keim, about the wide receiver market, because I've been fascinated by this, certainly with the rumors surrounding Debo and then the rumors that were surrounding A.J. Brown and then confirmed by the Eagles' acquisition of him. You, saw the Davante Adams trade that happened in many ways, born out of the argument as to what the DeAndre Hopkins contract really says in terms of annual salary. You acquire somebody in year three in this year's draft rather than go ahead and get somebody that might not be worthy of the 23rd overall pick. What is the concept about paying wide receivers? Certainly Christian Kirk cashed in a remarkable way, leaving a spot open for you. You're right in the middle of this whole conversation as to what it's like to pay receivers and value them in this year in the NFL. Steve, what do you think?
Yeah, and I think, again, they all come in different shapes and sizes. And the thing about Hop is we consider him a true X, which is the outside receiver, and a guy who was a number one receiver, in my humble opinion. But, you get to a point where you have a player like Christian Kirk, who was a fantastic player for us, great person, and we just couldn't handle paying two guys that type of salary. So we had to make a tough decision, and he'll obviously have a good career for the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, you can only pay so many of them. It's like that big pizza pie, and there's only so many slices that can go around, and it puts you in a tough position because that's a game-changing position on the outside, and it's become more and more valuable.
So what about guys coming out of college? Do you think they're more ready-made, thus gives you more ability to draft one? Sort of, you saw what Tennessee did, right? Instead of paying one then A.J. Brown, they send him out and they draft his exact comp coming out of Arkansas.
Well, I mean, I think it's one of the positions, Rich, that you can play early and have success early on, and I don't know that it's, offensive linemen tend to struggle and don't play as well early, and there's a number of other positions that you can say that for, but I think wideouts do have a chance to come in, and, really, again, from a payoff standpoint, if you take a guy high and he can contribute that early, it obviously pays huge dividends on the front end of his contract.
So, all right, what now? What's in your world now? What happens now that you're done with the draft, Steve? What do you got?
Well, take a deep breath here and get ready for the off-season program and probably take a look at Mr. Murray's contract.
When does that happen, do you think, Steve? What do you think?
Well, there's a lot of research that goes into it. I mean, we have a whole analytical team here. We got to look at the numbers, and I am definitely not the smartest guy, Rich, so I need a little help in math.
No, I know that, but he clearly has a ticking clock,
Sure.
Do you still keep the letter that Eric Burkhart sent out? It's a hell of a stationery, man. Do you still? I have a copy.
I'll be
here.
Honest with you, I didn't get through the whole thing.
Well, you got the gist off the top, and then you just put it down. I'm going to get asked this at the combine. My gosh!
I just said math, reading. I'm lazy, man. I got like two sentences in. I'm like, I'm good.
Because you have no intention of trading him. Zero intention of trading this guy, right?
No, hey, man. Drafted Josh Rosen with the 10th pick, moved on from him, made this guy the number one pick. I mean, they'd put me in the insane asylum if I did that.
I do remember that whole time, and that was one of the many times you were kind enough to call in the day after a draft and walk me through that process. And
tough decisions, yeah.
No, of course. But in other words, this is something that you're addressing this summer or between now and training camp. That is the time that you are going to actually hit this thing. With Kyler and his agent.
That's our intent, yes.
Steve Keim, thank you for the call. Let's do this again. Always appreciate you taking time after a very busy weekend to hit this show. I greatly appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks, my friend.
You got to take care. There you go. That's Steve Keim, everybody, right here on the program. Owner says, I'll get him.
That is a
That's
flex.
A flex. That's you know, a man, that's a funk man. Master flex right there, Chris. You know?
And that me, if I own awesome. The team, if I own the team, I'd be like, I'll get his Uber.
Wow.
Help my rating.
Rich will get his Uber.
Stars,
right?
Five stars. 5 stars for 5 stars.
Rich will get his Uber, but he won't hold the elevator door open for him.
That's something he won't do. By the way.
Oh, no.
It happened.
Did it happen?
Yeah, yeah. By the way.
It happened.
I mean, in Vegas, it happened.
Hold on a minute. When you're going up and down in a casino,
it's not stop.
There is literally every time I got on an elevator or attempted to get on an elevator, this dynamic played out every time.
Oh.
Every time. Every time. And you know what? One time, I'm the guy trying to get on the elevator.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get on the elevator, and the door shut on me. And the guy looked straight at me in the eye.
Oh,
and I thought of you guys saying it's karma.
Oh,
it's karma,
the
Rich.
Show.
It's karma. It's karma. And you know what my answer was? My answer to that whole situation was like that Robert Redford gif.
He was like,
you nodded it? My head.
Yep. You
nodded
it?
My head like, yes, I accept you. I accept you. I agree. I agree. There's 26 freaking floors in this thing, man. I respect you for not letting me on the elevator. I respect you.
But then you're like,
I thought of you guys sitting there thinking,
yeah, man.
Good for you to the guy on the elevator. You would have cheered the guy on the elevator.
Absolutely.
Oh, I would have laughed. If I was actually,
you'd have cheered from a front row seat.
It would have been great.
As Tony Bennett once sang.
I mean, you put it out there, man. So,
and so I sat there and I just nodded my head. I hit the button. 10 seconds later,
next one came.
There were many times there would be like 5, 6, 7 people getting on an elevator. I'm like, I'll get the next one.
Yeah, I don't need to be on there with a bunch of folks.
I don't need to know. I don't need to be on that.
Cooped up, coughing on you.
Cooped up with BA2 everywhere. I don't need that.
BA2?
Yeah, that's the variant. I don't need that.
Yeah. We're already in Las Vegas.
Oh, I know that.
Yeah.
I know that. I'm a ticking time bomb right now, guys. Watch out.
Yeah.
You better stay 6 feet
away
from me.
Stay away from us.
Yeah. Look out.
You sneezed earlier, and I was like, ooh, no.
No, that's okay.
Is it though?
I'm good. I tested. As soon as I walked in the door.
Okay.
As soon as I walked in the door.
This door?
No, back home.
Oh, yeah.
Back at home. I'm good. I'm hoping. Knock on wood. But let me just tell you. I respected that guy. Shut the elevator door right on me. Didn't even give me the reach. As the door shut,
so he's literally just staring at you.
We locked eyes. We locked eyes. I respect. I respect.
Al Pacino and Kay. And
did you say anything?
Exactly. Shut the door.
Shut the door.
It's exactly what it was.
Did you try to get him? Did you throw the hand up? Did you say, excuse me? Or you just.
No.
Okay.
No. Actually, what I try to do is I try to stick my hand in the door. Because, you know, all you got to do is just wave it real quick.
Hit the sensor.
But you got to make that decision. You got to make that decision. Yeah. That window can close fast.
Oh, yeah.
And then suddenly you're...
Las Vegas has 1,000 elevators in each. It's like...
Yeah, oh, that's true, too.
It's like, not like you're waiting for one elevator.
But that's... But I totally respect it. I thought of you guys. That's one of the only few times I thought of you.
Oh, man. The audacity.
We'll take a break. Overreaction. There I am right there. Yep. You come at me in the elevator, and there it's... You know, if you're, again, a woman or elderly, I'll hold the door. If you're a guy, and I feel like you're gonna delay my route to my floor, no shot. That's the look you're gonna get right there.
Like a baby's in the elevator by itself.
It got paid forward, and I have no problem with it. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Back here on our terrestrial radio outfit, all one big happy family. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Let me just say this, man. That was fun with Steve Keim, where he's just like, no, I'm not trading him.
I didn't even get through it.
I was a real smart general manager. We had Carson Palmer here, and then we didn't. I was a bad general manager until Kyler Murray came along. Now I'm a good general manager. Yeah. Now you could sit there. And
that's
I'm sure
how that
there,
works, though, Rich.
I'm sure there are some that's people sitting there and saying, well, it's not about you. Right? There are some people who might say that. He is a self-effacing individual big time. He also knows how briefly things can change in the NFL. And he's got one of them. Kyler Murray, what make of it what you will, that the team has wilted in the months of November and December and last year, December and January, unfortunately for them, and how you could say that's Murray's doing or fault or he's got a large hand in it. You go ahead and trade away Kyler Murray 3 years in. You know, that ain't happening. I didn't think it was happening when I saw this note. And I just loved how he said he didn't even get through it.
I'm not reading all that.
Pretty funny.
And I almost said to him, you know, let me read you part of it then in the back half, you know. But it's one of those time consumers that you can't get to. Kind of like Ed Marinaro making a draft choice.
Wow. That was funny, though. How did that play in the room? Because it was pretty cool on TV.
Well, as you know, we're not in a room. We were by the fountains.
True.
But you can get the general sense of what's playing on television.
Right.
And how we reacted to it.
Yeah.
And, you know, he went
on. I want to know how much more he had before the stage manager.
Well, he went on.
Out.
As you know, he comes up in the second day. They're having celebrities and season ticket holders and anybody not named Roger Goodell pretty much make these draft choices announcements. And Ed is I remember him from Hill Street Blues. I'm a man of a certain age, but he was in Hill Street Blues, and I didn't remember. I knew he played football. I knew he's from the Ivy League, and I knew he played in the NFL. I didn't remember he was a Viking at all, but they got him, and he came out and he started going on so long that I said into the microphone that we have a new residency here in Vegas. Was the first thing I could think of. But I felt terrible because I'm a kid who played the Hill Street Blues theme on the piano for my piano lessons. Like, I did, Mike. I had the sheet music, Mike Post sheet music
that
and everything.
That was a big one.
It was huge. I mean, Mike Post is already the king of television, you know, theme songs for the Rockford Files and everything. But at any rate, so I felt bad. But, you know, him being told by a member of the NFL staff that's,
Just pointed
read the card.
Right
she
at
pointed
it.
At the card. Read the card.
Just read the card.
Come on.
If they had music read to the play card. Him off, they would have played the music.
Who told him? Who told her to do that to him?
I do that to him. He was doing it to all of us.
I know, but it was funny.
Oh, dude! After a while.
All right.
And by the way, I'm also on the. You're sitting at home.
I'm at home watching
it.
Yeah.
I'm somebody who's part of the broadcast of this thing when. when clock's moving and picks need to get announced on time.
Was that second round or third round?
It was second round.
So that's 7 minutes.
It was second round.
It's going fast.
Right. Yeah. And we got to move things here. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, it wasn't the most compelling story either.
No, it wasn't that great. It was more funny. He just was just rambling.
I would have done, though.
Yeah, he was just up there rambling.
What I would have done, because the Vikings had another pick that night. Okay? They had another pick, I think, in that round.
Brought him back out.
Brought him back out and told him to come out and start by saying, so anyways, where was I?
That would have killed.
That would have killed.
Yeah.
And then had him read the pick right away.
What would have killed?
Like, he would have gotten a standing O coming out another time, coming out waving the hands and just start. So anyways, where was I? Like, feed him that line. Yeah. Talk about the elephant in the room.
Sure.
And then have him make that other pick. But no, I think somebody made the decision to tap Ed out. Ed's out. Ed was one and done. He was one and done. He was a one-hit wonder.
Yeah. And then everyone was talking about Kyle Brandt.
Well, Kyle did it later on that night.
The Bills pick at LA.
Yes, and apparently he brought he told me he brought that buffalo wing with him. Like, he bought it days ago. He brought it with him in his pocket. He brought it through security. He brought it through everything. That he bit into that wing.
Wow. He was decked out, too. The Zubaz.
The Zubaz. Yeah, I know. It was great.
He had it going on.
Yeah, he nailed it. By the way, he and Ed, Ivy Leaguers. Big night for the Ivy League.
Oh. And then Donnie Osmond was in the back.
Dude, and then Donnie Osmond making a draft pick. And Wayne Newton. My gosh. But, you know. I'll say this.
You want to do the Vegas stuff now, or you want to?
I'll hold off on that because I know you've got you've got overreaction Monday here,
yeah.
And then phone calls 844-204-RICH. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your call in a moment because we've got two guests coming up in hour number three. We've got Howie Roseman of the Eagles front office and Ian Rappaport of the NFL Media Group because I want to know what's going on with Baker. That I will hit right here. Then we'll get to your overreaction Monday.
It's part of overreaction if you want to wait.
I know I know it's going to be part of overreaction, I assume.
It's okay.
I just want to say this. Because overreaction, we got to go quick. I just want to spend a little time here. I have no idea what the Browns are doing. I don't know what the Browns are doing with Baker Mayfield. Are they holding on to him? Because they're concerned that Deshaun Watson could potentially get suspended and they need somebody to take snaps for him and they need somebody to win games while Deshaun is on a suspension. How long is that suspension going to be? A full year? Would it be a full year?
No.
A full year? I don't think so. And I don't know when that's going to be handed down anyway. And even if it is for that long, what are you going to say to Baker Mayfield? Oh, I know. Hey, Baker, this is the way the conversation is going to go. Hey, Baker, I know you feel slighted. Because we heard you on that podcast where there was a dog looking for a belly scratch. And, you know, we know you feel disrespected. And then we know you said goodbye to us before Deshaun even said goodbye to us himself before reversing course because we decided to guarantee every single of his $230 million that we gave to him, hardly really even knowing him. And we certainly don't really know him. Based on 22 civil suits that are out there to see what's real and what's not. But we still gave him all of that guaranteed money. We gave it to him, not to you. Not to you. And we know that you played hurt and you may have played hurt even though we told you not to play hurt, that you'd be fine if you didn't play hurt and you did. And, you know, if that was the case. But we need you. We need you now. And, hey, look, you ball out for us and then you show the rest of the league you could still win. Right? It's a win-win. You win for us, and then you win for yourself because you get to show the rest of the league that you can win. But we need you, man. And let's just say the suspension's not even for a full year. It's for half a year. We just need you for September and October. And then you're gone. Then we'll cut you. Then we'll send you on your way. That's it. Or then you could stick around here and hang out, and we could just quiche on you. We'll just send you home, and you can get paid. And we just need you for these few weeks.
What if he goes like 6-2 or something?
But it doesn't even matter, because that whole conversation to Baker Mayfield, there's a church, and that's the wet fart. For the lack of a much better phrase. Because that's how it would go over in that church. So what are you doing? What are you doing? I had Pete Carroll on the show on NFL Network's coverage middle of day three. And of course, you can't ask him, you're interested in Baker? Because Baker's on another team. You can't do that. So I said to him, you know, you got Drew Lock, you got Geno. Are you thinking of adding another veteran? And he gave the answer of, well, we always compete around here. That's the mantra. We always compete. We're always looking for competition. And then I'm like, well, how about adding that veteran since you did not draft a quarterback and you haven't, you know, you might not. How about adding that veteran now, right away? No, was the answer. They're going to see what they've got in Drew Lock, and they're going to see what they have in Geno. Well, they already know what they have in Geno. I think they're really eager to see what Drew Lock is going to do.
But then Pete also said Geno's ahead right now.
Because Geno had time. Of course he is, because he's had more time. He played. Remember last year? There were times we went higher register on Geno.
Yeah.
Hey, look at him play out there in Seattle.
Just seems like a bad news situation.
Well, I mean, we've seen his body of work in its entirety and think that that's not a guy who can take Seattle to the promised land right now. But they definitely want to see what they have in Drew Lock. So Baker's not moving. Carolina's not getting him after they drafted Matt Corral. Who's going to take him? Where's he going to go? And certainly if you're not entertaining, I don't know how much money they're entertaining and eating. But the idea of let's hold on to him and see if there's an injury that happens in training camp like Teddy Bridgewater, and he could be the Sam Bradford of 2022. Ooh. Like, what? That's your plan? How do you go through the draft and not eat whatever salary to get him out? You don't want him around either. You don't want him around. He doesn't want to be there. You don't want him there either. Isn't that amazing? Last year, Deshaun Watson was that guy for the Texans. Now Deshaun's on that on Cleveland, and now Baker's that guy for Cleveland. I don't know what the Browns are up to. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. All right. I'm going to take a call, and then we'll do Overreaction Monday in the next segment. I don't want you rushing.
All good.
Let's go to Jeff in Detroit. What's up, Jeffrey?
Hey, Jeff.
How you been?
What up, though, Unc and my cousins? Man, I miss you guys. Talk to you in a minute.
What up, though?
You look really, really good. The Eisen family deserves a vacation, dude. You really rocked it. Had us cracking up with the misty eye, and it's not the fountain when you got your pick for the Jets, man. I'm very, very happy. Hopefully things will look up for both of us. We got the guy that we wanted. I have a couple of things. First of all, the Draymond Green situation, I honestly believe that referees should be able to face, like you always say, should have to come up with reasoning behind why they do certain things, you know. Another thing here in Detroit, with HBO coming to town with Hard Knocks, is there a better situation for them to be in than to pick up Aiden Hutchinson, hometown hero and all? And I'm going to tell you, he's not the star. The star is his mom and those sisters of his, man. They're really going to get a lot of FaceTime when HBO comes to town here in Detroit, dude. I kid you not.
You're too much, man. You're too much. Thanks for the call, Jeff. You're the best, man. Thanks for holding on, and thanks for always calling in and saying such nice things.
I forgot that they were doing Hard Knocks this year with the Lions.
But Jameson Williams as well. You know what? That's another rumor that you hear, is that Baker winds up there.
Oh, interesting.
Baker winds up there.
What's the difference between him and Goff?
Well,
one throw from the Super Bowl. I mean, come on.
I don't know. That's a rumor, is that he winds up there. They're not terribly happy with Goff. That, who, you know, I don't know. They want to win football games now. He's a guy that could do it. He could compete. He can push. What's the big deal?
I don't know.
You know, that Goff is...
I don't know if that's an upgrade.
Baker can win football games, man. I just don't know what is going on with him. And it, does his reputation have anything to do with it, too?
The reputation of what?
Just being a red ass. A guy that's a red ass.
I guess that fits Dan Campbell's personality.
Maybe. I don't know. That there's a lot of also, he's kind of, they're like no nonsense, no drama. They don't want any of that stuff.
Right.
They don't want any of that stuff. That's the pushback on that rumors. They don't want any, you know, they don't want anything like that. They want it set up the way they want it set up, and let's go win football games and remove the drama from it. Remove any of the questions.
I feel like Baker would kind of do well to, like, go to Tampa and
that's
sit,
another
sit
one
behind
I mentioned.
Brady or
that's the one,
you know?
I mentioned, is he goes to Tampa. But
gets with Byron Leftwich.
But you can't. The Cleveland's going to have to eat salary for that. Yeah. Big time. And that he's the one who backs up Brady.
But they're spending $230 on Deshaun. What's $8 or $9 million to eat?
That's what I'm thinking.
Salary, you know?
The Haslam's already cutting almost a $200 million check for escrow. What's another $15 million that's just cap that you're eating anyway?
Yeah, what's another 10, 12?
You're spending it anyway. I'd rather trade him than cut him and have him wind up in some other place within the, you know, wouldn't even be.
But what are you getting
division.
Back from Baker now that the Steelers, for him at this point? A fifth or sixth rounder?
That's better than 0.0.
Better than zero, yeah, sure.
Or holding on to him.
Yeah, the holding on to him doesn't make much sense.
Let's take a break, and when we come back, we've got ourselves an overreaction Monday before we get to our friends Howie Roseman and Ian Rappaport here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. You're not into the Blue Man Group over there? TJ, you just, you're not, that's not your thing?
I mean, I know of the Blue Man Group, but I don't really know the Blue Man Group. You know what I mean?
I know
who they are, and I know what they do.
But you
do.
Want to know who they are as people?
Yeah, I mean, you know me as an investigative journalist, Rich. I like to get to the soul of the person.
Cirque du Soleil and Blue Man Group are two things you have to see in Vegas. Any of them. Any of the Cirque du Soleil's are.
Did you ever see Siegfried and Roy? Did you ever see Siegfried and Roy? Did you ever see that?
No, and I had a big fight with my parents when we were there because I wanted to go see it.
And why didn't they want to go see it?
They wanted to go see one of the Cirque du Soleil's, and I was so upset.
What year was this?
Going back, 90s. Yeah.
You went to Vegas with your parents?
We met them there. My father loved Vegas. He loved Vegas, and he loved the shows. He would always get us. We were, I think, for like Cirque du Soleil in like the front row.
I've always I grew insane. Up always wanting to go to Vegas because my brother and I, we had a board game where it was kind of like Monopoly, but it was called Vegas, and the properties were all casinos, you'd land on the Stardust, you'd land on Circus.
Sands or whatever,
so I knew all of the logos, and I knew all of the neon signs, and I knew all of that as a young kid. So we played Vegas. You know,
a show called Vegas.
I know, with Robert Urich, Dantana. Played Dantana, named after the guy who ran Dantana's here.
I was nicknamed Binzer, his associate.
Is that right?
Because I looked like Binzer. Look it up. I look like Binzer.
I still remember my first trip to Vegas vividly.
Me too.
Yeah.
And we passed by. We went to, on what was this, Wednesday night, we went to Barry's Steakhouse.
Oh yeah,
in downtown.
Shout out to the chef, right?
No, that was the Wynn Steakhouse one night. And so there were two nights where I could actually go to dinner for that's not true. But those, and we passed by the small,
place you went to see the
way off strip spot that we could afford in college. The Shalimar Hotel.
The Hotel Shalimar. I mean,
yes, sir. We zoomed past it, and I'm like, oh, if I'd only remember, I didn't have my phone out. I would have taken a picture.
Shalimar Hotel.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That just...
Yeah, there were no casinos in that one at all. All right, let's get to Overreaction Monday right here on the Rich Eisen Show. First Overreaction Monday we've had that's basically all football in quite some time. Let's get to it right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
Christopher, what do you have?
All right, the year of Rich rolls on. The Jets won the draft, and they're going to make the playoffs this year.
Oh, I'm not going there. That's a total overreaction.
What do you mean? Did you see their odds change big time?
Why would they change the odds? Why would they change your odds? Why would they change your odds?
You got three starters in the first round.
You got four starters, I think, and you want to throw in Breece Hall? They could have
double backfield action. I'm
very excited about they got the draft. I mean, if getting players who are highly regarded and getting them multiple ways, and you don't have to use capital in next year's draft to go get them, that's the way you will, quote unquote, win a draft. And so I would agree the Jets won the draft in that regard, but making the playoffs, that is a huge, tall order, sir. Certainly with the AFC West looking the way that they look, and the AFC North going to now be much better than last year, and the Dolphins looking the way they look. For the first time in a while, I guess there's only been seven teams make the playoffs for 2 years. You're going to look at like a seven seed that can actually win a playoff game, like big time. Like whoever doesn't get that bye and sits there at the two seed, you're going to be in trouble in the AFC. It's not going to be one of those 9-8 limp in teams at the seventh spot. You're not going
to
see that.
Rich, we didn't sit here and listen to you pound the table for Sauce Gardner for months.
We didn't sit here and listen to you say how much you love the Jets draft.
No. For you to now go in there, have I taught you nothing? No. He asked you if the Jets are going to make the playoffs. Ask me that question, Chris. Hey, if I'm a Jets fan.
Hey, TJ, you're a Jets fan, a long-time Jets fan.
Yeah.
A Jets going to make the playoffs in 2022?
You better believe it. We got the sauce. See, that's what people want to do. They don't want you to hem and haw and say Say it with your chest.
Nope.
They're going to make it.
9-7-1. Pats 10-7. Raiders 10-7. Bengals 10-7.
You damn
all
right.
All could miss the playoffs this year. Why can't the Jets
Bengals
sneak
are not
in there?
The play-
Dolphins, aren't. Chargers,
Chris, Bengals
Ravens.
Aren't missing the playoffs.
I just gave you four teams that could take their spot.
Bengals aren't missing the playoffs. Come on.
They're more likely than not to miss the playoffs, Rich. Losers of the Super Bowl in the following year.
Except this time around.
Very good point.
Overreaction. What else?
Boo.
All right, fair. Guys, there were 262 picks. I think there were 262 wide receivers selected over the weekend. The league is overvaluing wide receivers right now.
No, I think what the league is doing is what the... it's fascinating that we've got Howie Roseman coming up. He's the one who takes A.J. Brown because he's like, I'll take the kid who's already proven in 3 years what he can do when healthy.
Caveat.
I'll take him. I'll draft him in the first round entering year four by coughing up a first round pick to go get him. And I'll pay him $100 million. And the Titans on the other side are saying, yep, nope. We're going to draft somebody out of Arkansas in Treylon Burks. And as soon as Treylon Burks gets drafted and they put up his what we call baseball card, that's what we call it in the NFL Network truck and production staff. And on it has certain bullet point attributes. And the one was from Daniel Jeremiah, his comp. His comp was A.J. Brown. They drafted his comparison. And they'd rather do that than have the actual A.J. Brown paid at a certain level that the Eagles are fine paying him.
I didn't hate that move by
Titans. They're not overvalued. What they are is more pro-ready coming out of college. And then we'll see if they're valued or overvalued or what their value is going into their second contract. We're seeing Eagles say yes for A.J. Brown. Titans say no for A.J. Brown at the price. And we'll see how Debo plays out. And one thing that Pete Carroll said when he came on the NFL Network on Saturday is he mentioned DK Metcalf for the quarterback that plays there. He's not going anywhere. And we'll see what happens with him if he doesn't get paid and he goes into his fourth year without getting that extra contract. We'll see how that's handled in Seattle. What's next?
You mentioned him, Rich. Kind of feels like right now, May 2nd, Debo's going to be on the 49ers week one.
That's a million %. Because why would you trade him for draft choices now that you're unfamiliar where they're going to land? 3 days ago, they were fully familiar where the draft choices were going to be, and they could have cashed them in on the spot, and they didn't do it. And I heard that the Jets were way in on that, and I heard that the 10th overall selection was offered to San Francisco for it, and San Francisco said no. You heard Kyle Shanahan say that nothing came close.
Right.
Like, well, what... I would think the 10th overall selection and maybe other draft picks would have come close, but they decided not to trade him, and I'm not surprised by it. And Debo is going to be on the Niners week one. We'll see if he's active week one. We'll see how he handles that. He's going nowhere now.
I did not appreciate Odell Beckham kind of toying with my emotions.
Saying that he's going to the Patriots?
Oh, my gosh.
On Twitter?
Yeah. Quickly shot down.
Well, if you want to ask Ian that in hour three, we could
sure.
do that.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Why not? Rich, you talked about Baker a second ago. Just kind of follow up my overreaction was, it seems like he's going to be waiting a while for a new team.
No question. No doubt. No doubt. Because in the same way that we saw today, the Saints go out and get Tyrann Mathieu. They went through the draft and didn't get a safety. So that's a need. You fill it. Anybody who went through the draft that needed a quarterback and didn't fill that need, why aren't they going to get Baker Mayfield today? It's because I don't know what team there is that fits that mold. You could say Seattle, but Seattle might not term quarterback a need right now, as Pete Carroll wants to see a competition between Drew Locke and Geno Smith. And if he sees in the OTAs something that disturbs him, or he sees stuff in other workouts that concerns him, and he sees stuff in training camp that concerns him, maybe that's when they go and hit the Baker Mayfield button. If the Browns eat enough salary, because you're not going to take somebody on that's $18 million and have to find the cap room for him to potentially lose a quarterback battle. So, yeah, he's going to be waiting a while. It's crazy. What else you got?
All right, last one, NFL here. Eagles made the big move for the weekend, trading for A.J. Brown. It's a make-or-break year for Jalen Hurts in 2022.
I kind of have to agree with that. But again, we're having the general manager of the Eagles come on in a bit because they have draft capital next year enough to go get the replacement. You got A.J. Brown. You got that running game.
Devontae Smith.
You got him in last year's draft.
Dallas Goedert.
You've got enough weaponry right here. And defensively, you play well enough, they could win the division. And they did get a nice wet their beak a little bit in the playoffs last year. So they made the playoffs last year. I know they had the doors blown off in Tampa. But that's going to count for something. And you saw Jalen Hurts FaceTime A.J. Brown. And they were just laughing like school kids. Because I think they're going to, they know each other very well. And I think they're going to play well together. Can't wait to see what the Eagles look like. But I agree with you, Chris. I think that, that's not an overreaction either. A lot of agreement between us today.
Hey, lockstep. Like you never left.
That's your overreaction Monday coming off of the NFL draft in Las Vegas. But you ask questions that we're going to have some answers to. Certainly one is a decision maker in Philadelphia and Howie Roseman, and then Ian Rappaport. He's going to come on, and I know he's going to say that the Browns are thinking of just hanging on a Baker just in case they need him. I think Baker would be like, that is a call I am not answering. You can pound that sand and just pay me my money.
All right, a few more. Let's do some NBA ones.
What do you got?
Guys, real quick.
Oh, bonus.
This is maybe.
You got the NBA music, Mikey?
Go for it.
That's okay. You can start. You can join us. You can join us in progress, as they say in television.
Maybe this is just my own overreaction, but the Celtics are in trouble, man. Oh, my God.
Well, I think that what the Celtics' trouble is spelled Giannis. G-I-A-N-N-I-S.
Like, make a shot.
Dude.
Why are we taking so many threes?
That was ridiculous. Like, you know, Rich, Chris and I were speaking before the show about how Jason Tatum has now elevated himself to where he's on the list, right? When we talk about the best players in the league.
Top five, top eight, whatever.
Giannis last night made them look like they didn't, like, they were first-year players.
Al Horford played pretty good D on him. He was getting everyone else involved. Obviously, he's a rebounder.
He's just that much bigger. He's that much stronger. He's just that much better. It's
ridiculous. The three scariest words about Giannis, are room for improvement.
Yeah, man.
Because every single time you think that's the best he can be, he is finding another gear and another level.
Only 27.
You notice we're not counting foul shot seconds anymore, right?
No, we're not.
You know, so how it used to be if Giannis can make a 17-footer, now he's shooting threes.
Head, and that is head that you can get to him. If you can't get to him in any way, shape, or form through beating him physically or beating him up physically, you can get to him mentally by getting him to the line. That's gone.
Like he said last night, I don't know if you heard, he likes feeling beat up after a game. And like when
room
you're built like that.
Improvement. That game one showed like he's getting better. Like how's that possible?
Yeah, he's going to be a pro. I mean, Brockman said this, and I love old school players, but Brockman said this maybe 2 years ago and I laughed at him. But now he kind of put Giannis and said that he's going to be passing Hakeem in terms of lineage and in terms of ranking. And I'm like, you.
Maybe that should have been your overreaction.
Maybe. Real quick, Warriors-Grizzlies headed for seven games. Feels like it, right?
No, I mean, are they going to keep ejecting Draymond to just piss him off?
Maybe. I think that might help them yesterday. But.
Jordan Poole, baby.
31.
There's too many of these Warriors now. Klay, Steph, Poole, Wiggins, and Draymond when he's not ejected.
10 seconds left. Throw up the last one real quick. TJ liking your team is an automatic mush. Sorry, TJ.
Oh! Oh!
Where does that come from?
Oh!
Because Embiid is hurt.
Shots fired. Embiid going is out hurt. The door.
From the mush. Like, that's you.